Good morning, evening, and afternoon. Welcome, my friends, to the Year of the Sandwich, the home of food conspiracy and gourmet conversation. Well, we have a big question to start, as usual. Now, why, oh why, is it illegal in most countries to have freshly fried chicken on Christmas in the Kentucky style? Why can't I have a bucket of KFC under my tree? What law am I breaking exactly, number 10? What rule of decency am I in violation of? Because, surely, we would all agree, in unison, if you prefer, that it would be an absolute gift to bite upon that crispy symphony of 11 herbs and spices. 11, as you know, is a prime number, and I believe that KFC uses a prime number of secret spice to craft their prime time chicken. Am I an absolute fan of this establishment and their world famous product? May I enter the plea of guilty, Your Honor? Of course I am. But back to the original question about the original recipe. Why no KF chicken on Christmas? Well, if you want to find some freshly breaded bird in a bucket on the 25th of December, then you'd better get your ticket punched to the incredible island of Japan. That's right, among the many ancient wisdoms and the incredibly rich history that you can find in the land of the rising sun, you can also find the passionate tradition of holding a Kentucky Fried Christmas, while the rest of us are sadly choking down our barely edible, low-class scrap fest of a holiday dinner. Many Japanese people were in lines at a KFC, picking up their party barrels, as they put it, brimming with things like salad, cake, of course, and flightless chicken parts. Now, this is a tradition that has been going strong since the Thatcher years of the mid-80s, with lines normally out the door of every KFC in Japan. Now let's just say you're one of the chaps who didn't reserve your barrel days earlier. Well then you just may have to stand in line clear until New Year's if you want a taste of it fresh. Now honestly, I find it particularly interesting that the colors of the KFC just happen to be the same colors on the Japanese flag, right? Red and white. Now perhaps they know something we do not. Perhaps they acknowledge something that we forgot. You see, there's a lot of coincidences here between Colonel Sanders and Christmas. Enough, it seems, to warrant a recent assignment. Now, it was simple enough to start. I was instructed to dig into Japan's Kentucky Fried Christmas celebration and find what I could find, see what I could see. Now, these orders often come straight from the top, for your eyes only stamped clearly on the package and all that. And so, I assume that probably means Buckingham and naturally the Queen. Now, surely, eating chicken on a holiday dinner isn't anything too noticeable by Her Majesty, so nothing suspicious there. But then my switchboard began to light up. The truth began to reveal, and all the facts were piling up like they were claims against Prince Andrew. But something wasn't right. You see, I have behind me, at Year of the Sandwich Headquarters Subterranea, a literal mountain of evidence that shows nearly beyond a reasonable doubt, nearly, an idea so big it could grind our Mother Gaia to a halt. Something so scandalous, it may just rearrange the New World Order. Because Colonel Sanders could very well be Santa Claus. Yes, I know. I know. It is an incredible revelation. At least to everyone who isn't Japanese. You see, in Japan, the Colonel is known as Kentucky no Oji-san, or Old Man Kentucky for those of you not brushed up on your Japanese. And they just happened to dress all of his life-size statues in Santa's finest during the appropriate holiday. I mean, since even before the 80s, they've had some inkling about this mysterious connection while the rest of us are chewing on our holiday lies. But a major break developed in the story. Things I'd never heard of began to surface. And now I'm really not sure what's reality, what's fantasy, and what's just plain raw chicken. So by all means, tuck in, have a seat. Please join me for this curious case called Japan's Kentucky Fried Christmas. Colonel Sanders can be Santa Claus, but I'm not so sure Santa Claus could ever be the Colonel. So without much further ado, my friends, let's begin. Now let's start at the beginning, right? Let's look at the evidence. Now the only reason that we know about Colonel Sanders is because at the ripe young age of 65, when most of us are most likely trying to retire, he started spreading his chicken business around the states. That's right, 60 bloody five. Now you know who else tends to travel around the land unreasonably when he's super old, spreading the gift of his wares? That's right, the big red man himself, Santa Claus. Now both are old pensioners, obviously, who like to spend their time and money on travel. And although it is a small detail, we are just getting warmed up. Now, for my second piece of evidence, take a look at that KFC bucket, you know, very famous look to it. But it has that lid in it that really does nothing to help the situation, right? If you turn it upside down, that lid doesn't really exist. And seemingly all of that delicious fried heat that I want to stay in the chicken just escapes out of those four little thumb holes in it. But have you ever actually noticed that it is designed to look pretty much like a candy cane? A peppermint candy cane, of course. Yep, classic red and white stripes on the bucket. And often that very same candy cane pattern is also used on features on the inside and on the outside cladding of KFC restaurants themselves. So it really, next time you're driving by, take a look, and you'll notice that the locations often look like they're gift wrapped, ready for the big day, Christmas. Now that, in my opinion at least, is exactly what Santa would do if he was trying to run a fast food business while hiding in plain sight. Sort of like an artist or like a famous thief signing off their work with a flourish. I know, mates, really sometimes it is just too easy to see the truth. Mr. Sanders was also known for a very unique bow tie, which doesn't really look like most bow ties I'm sure you've seen. Take another look, don't worry, I'll wait. Yeah, looks just like a gift bow, doesn't it? Suspiciously long ribbon at the tails. It's an obvious tell that he is going around the world giving us the gift of Kentucky Fried Chicken. And don't you worry, there's more. You see, Sanders was heralded as the inventor of the process of pressure cooking fried chicken. And he invented this in his old age. He wanted to sell his delicious recipe, but he realized that traditional fried chicken takes close to 40-50 minutes to properly prepare on a stovetop. So I'm sure he then retired to his workshop, right? And began tinkering, and voila, he was able to create a device that took the cook time down from 45-ish minutes to less than 10, no problem. Now, you may call it technology, you may call it science, but it is obviously magic. Now, he was also known to carry a cane, which I assume was made out of candy or black licorice. And really, look at any picture of the Colonel. If he grew out that bit of a goatee to a mightier beard, I'm pretty sure he would fit the bill, glasses and all, hook, line, and sinker. He really looks straight like Santa in a white suit with a pimpin' candy cane. Now, at this point in the investigation, my friends, I was quite chuffed. I knew the Queen would certainly be pleased with my findings, pleased indeed. every detail fit and was making better and better sense. I built my case rather strongly, if I do say so myself. But nothing lasts forever. And you see, Sanders surely had the time, the motive, and the ability to have easily performed as a successful Santa Claus. Heck, he could have done it as a part-time gig with how capable he is, because he was a world-class chicken man. But our friend Kentucky No Oji-san was not traditionally geared to be some family-friendly holiday mascot, it seems. He was born named Harlan Sanders in 1890 in the United States in Indiana. Honestly, he really didn't get into the chicken game until the 1950s, so the big question left was, what exactly was going on in the first 60 years of his life, right? The early years, as we might call them. Was he just spending his time getting just the right mix of his secret 11 herbs and spices? Maybe he was paying his dues as a farmer raising chickens, or as a butcher slaughtering them. I mean, how did all this magic really come to be? Well, I can tell you, once I found the story about his first 60 years, it was obvious that the Colonel would probably be more likely to be in a fistfight with a mall Santa than ever actually perform the role. The two-time Kentucky Colonel, called Harlan Sanders, spent most of his first 60 years on Earth cheating, cussing, womanizing. And if you were to know him and come at him wrong, you'd have to answer to his trademark shotgun. Because when the Colonel comes to town, everybody is on his naughty list. Being born before sliced bread, the television, and even aeroplanes, our Harlan Sanders was not one to wait around for his life to happen. He was a dynamo, an absolute legend. So, by the age of 20, he had already married, had a child, and estranged his first wife. And that estrangement was majorly due to his inability to hold down a job. Yeah. The man who brought us the global chain that is KFC, honestly, would have been most likely fired from one of his locations if he worked in it as a youth. His most famous way of switching jobs, well, I would say was punching out his manager or his co-workers. And that's only if he liked you. You know, after his first wife left with his daughter, young Hartlin plotted to make things right. You know, but he chose a bit of a different strategy than most of us. Now, you might think if you wanted to make amends with your previous love, you might talk it out. Mediation's a good option. Maybe some group therapy could be a reasonable course of action to mend those old broken fences, right? Well, not if you're to be a future Kentucky Colonel, it seems. Instead, Sanders hid in the woods, just outside of his wife's family cabin, and when the moment was right, he planned to snatch his child from the yard and take her with him back home. And he actually proudly wrote about this strange ploy to abduct his own family in his memoirs. But thankfully, as we said, he was a very impatient man, and so he wasn't willing to wait too long. Eventually, a little fatigued, he walked right into that cabin and talked it out with sweet Josephine, his estranged wife, as well as her father. It seems, you know, that Colonel Sanders finally got his groove back, at least for a time. Because, as we can see, he was not one to keep things calm very long. He had lost a job as a railroad firefighter, after fighting not a fire, but an engineer. Now, honestly, I've worked for engineers before, and they do tend to have very punchable faces. But I'm going to say this one was still probably on Sanders, because at a different job, he was arrested. He was working as the Justice of the Peace Court, just doing a little bit of work, and they arrested him for trying to beat his own client with a fucking chair. I mean, he's bloody mental, he is. And Crazy Sanders was even said to have walked into a barber's, right? and threatened a man to a fight. Ended up punching him so hard the literal shave came off of his face. And that means you best tuck in your chain when the Kentucky Colonel is trotting through your town. Now, despite his marriage being somewhat mended at this point, Harlan's eyes did like to wander. He undoubtedly made Sweet Josephine rather uncomfortable when he took up work as the local midwife. That's right, Sanders could have been the one you called to help deliver your baby. I mean, he was literally ready for anything at all times, it seems. Now, thankfully it was a short-lived job, but he did end up assisting in the birth of 8 actual people. And it does kind of make you think, right? Do you think that there were more babies delivered by Colonel Sanders himself, or more babies delivered by accident in a KFC restaurant? Does make you think. But regardless of the answer to that weird question, I'm pretty sure that even back then, that it was pretty questionable for a husband to be a midwife. However, it seems that the Colonel wouldn't have to worry about Sweet Josephine for too long. No. He thankfully did not kill his wife. I mean, at least, I'm pretty sure he did not kill his first wife while he was in his 40s. Sanders got into the petrol game, right? One of his many jobs, and he began to run a gas station in a rather shit area of Kentucky known as Hell's Half Acre. Now, this bit of road was well known for criminality and violence from bootleggers because, remember, we're in the 1930s, people. America's Great Depression and all. So, desperation was everywhere. And alcohol was nowhere. Because the silly Yanks made it illegal at this time. Which, as we all know, went really well. Because I'm sure you've never heard of Al Capone, right? One of the most law-abiding citizens of that time. But Sanders was also not one to be frightened by criminals. He carried a shotgun, it was known. And he did like to keep his restaurant clean, but he preferred to keep his mouth quite dirty. He quoted once that it is hard for me not to call a no-good, lazy, incompetent, dishonest son of a bitch by anything else but his rightful name. Women, men, he didn't care. He was a proud shit-talker to any ear who would hear it. He said he cussed the prettiest you've ever heard, which honestly sounds like a line from Muhammad Ali. But as we all know, actions do speak louder than words, especially when you're living in a place called Hell's Half Acre. So, Harlan started to sell chicken out of his gas station, and the locals took to it. Soon enough, he was able to add a cafe, and he hired a woman named Claudia to help. And that, my friends, was a major dick move. You see, Claudia was actually his mistress, and he didn't seem to try to hide it from Sweet Josephine, so she hopped out of that situation rather quickly. Thus, his second wife had entered the chat. Now, in this rough patch of Corbin, Kentucky, Sanders ruled like a gang of one. One night, upon hearing gunfire outside of his gas station, Mr. Sanders emerged in his underwear with nothing else but his trusty shotgun and yelled at the men fighting, "Line up, you sons of bitches, and throw down your guns." And then he walked them to the jail with the sheriff, still only wearing his nightly best. Pantsless is what I mean by that, really. Now, he seemed to have dealt with competition with a very similar attitude. There was another gas station in town, and he noticed they began to paint over his advertisement signs. So, not one to be messed with, our Colonel Sanders gathered a wrecking crew of himself and a handful of Shell Oil execs, and they went to confront the owner, a man named Matt Stewart. And this little meeting turned into a full-blown, guns-blazing, Tarantino-style shootout, like the Wild Wild West. You know, Sanders happened to wound the man in the shoulder, which ended the shootout. When all the dust settled, a man lay dead. It seems in all the gunfire that one of the Shell Oil executives was actually slain by Mr. Stewart, the rival gas station owner. And so Stewart was arrested and ended up doing some pretty serious time for the crime. Yes, I know, it's kind of nuts, right? Somehow we started at the potential of a Japanese Christmas, and now a man lay dead in the streets of Hell's Half Acre. It's pretty crazy for the man who invented the world's most famous bucket, a man who truly could have been our Santa Claus. But really, his whole Southern gentleman shtick was all a ruse, a front, to help clean up the damage from his first 60 years on planet Earth, being the devil of Hell's Half Acre. But even a fresh white double-breasted Southerner suit and a pretty black cane can't cover up all of the dirty. Because at this point, you may just think that the Colonel and Colonel Sanders must have also been just part of his rebranding strategy in his later years, yeah, to help clean up his image. But he was actually named a colonel by the governor of Kentucky, despite all his violence and all the womanizing. In 1935, while in his 40s, Harlan Sanders was given the highest honor for his fried chicken efforts. The governor of Kentucky, a man with the amazing name of Ruby LaFon, bestowed Mr. Sanders the title of colonel, quote-unquote, in recognition of his contribution to the state's cuisine. In other words, really, he got a state medal for the best fried chicken. And it happened again, only a few years later. He was a double colonel. And that is amazing, really. We should all be so fortunate. But if you fast forward just a bit, eventually Sanders hit his twilight years, right? He's now 65 and just about to start Kentucky Fried Chicken. But a lot of times when you look up the story of exactly why KFC started, you'll hear many, many versions of exactly what was going through old Harlan's head at the time. Some people say he was suicidal for some reason, couldn't stand his own life, and the concept of saving his own life through fried chicken was what created KFC. But that doesn't seem to be quite accurate at all. Now, the real deal was when Sanders actually hit 65, he began to take on his Social Security checks, and they were tiny. That tiny check made him furious. And as a man who was quite desperate for cash, he reached out to a fellow restaurateur named Pete Harmon and offered to cook him up a mean chicken dinner. Now, Mr. Harmon was captivated by this original recipe, as we all are generally whenever we take a bite of Sanders' famous hot chicken. Now, after sorting out a bit of the details, Sanders went straight into franchise mode. He loaded up his sleigh and spread chicken across the states from coast to coast, opening locations and selling his flavors. Now, it was honestly one of the best deals in the day. If you wanted to meet with the colonel and see if this chicken was worth your time, he would arrive, cook you up some of this finger-licking chicken, and the deal was, if you want a piece of the action, then all you have to do is give Sanders 5 cents for every bird you cook up in the restaurant. That's right, 5 cents a bird is all he charged. And from 1955 to 1964, he was able to amass around 600 locations in the States alone. And he sold his steak for 2 million greenbacks. Not bad for a man clearly in his 70s. And at this point, our old man Kentucky took on the role of brand ambassador. He'd earned it, certainly. He was one of the original influencers. And yet, he still had one lost ox to grind. You know, looking at the colonel's life, the story honestly sounds like a Guy Ritchie script. Locked, stocked, and two smoking buckets. And this may not really be the last time we mention old Harlan Sanders on this very podcast, because we have yet to crack the code for his 11 prime herbs and spices. Although every day, are you the sandwich scientists draw ever closer to the answer. But like every great leader, the colonel also knew that the spice must flow. It was his spice, after all. And one fine day, after KFC had been sold and acquired by a parent company called Hublin Incorporated, Harlan thought himself wise to stop in and have a taste of his legacy. Now, the chicken still checked out delicious. But then Sanders had some gravy, and he was not pleased, my friends. Now, thankfully, no shotguns within arm's reach, so he instead phoned a lawyer and opened up a case to sue the parent company for serving what he called wallpaper taste instead of gravy. Literally his words in the litigation. The flavor was so bad that he considered it a misuse of his image in promoting products that he developed. In an amazing act of real-life trolling mixed with pure defiance, he quickly opened a competing restaurant that he called Claudia Sanders, the Colonel's Lady. And at that establishment, he sold fried chicken and gravy of his original recipe of flavors. Honestly, it was the only way he could get the real gravy into the streets. And of all the actions in his life, this really sounds like a classic move by our Colonel Sander Claus. But then, Hublin Incorporated tried to countersue, and after a bit of back and forth, they were able to iron out an agreement and everything was copacetic. They closed down the second restaurant, Claudia Sanders, which is phenomenal. Honestly, somebody out there should start it up. Just sell gravy, I guess. And they paid each other enough to keep it quiet. So all in all, the legend of the bastard of a man born Harlan Sanders technically ended when he allegedly passed on December 16th of 1980. Now, his death was not immediately suspicious. However, I do find the timing is abnormally coincidental. You see, he left us 9 days before Christmas. Now, I know you can't see me right now, but when I say left us, I am putting in massive air quotation marks. Because really, I believe he ended up in one of three possible places. Of course, he could have went to heaven for his divine flavors and recipes. Or, given the way he lived his life, he could have went to hell for his devilish behaviors. But I'd like to imagine a third place, off to the great bucket in the sky, by which I mean the island of Japan, because Sanders always knew, whether it be chicken or gravy, that the spice must flow. And so maybe one day, the rest of us may just know what it's like to taste fresh KFC on December 25th. Sure, he may not be the real Santa Claus, but he has given the gift of fried chicken to the world, which is pretty much a Christmas miracle. All thanks to Kentucky no Oji-san, the Colonel of Hell's Half Acre, our very own Southern Santa Claus. But let's not forget to heed his sturdy advice, friends. Do not eat the gravy, because KFC gravy tastes like wallpaper. And that is all I have for you today. So thank you very much for joining me for this incredible investigation. I hope you enjoyed it. And until next time, be sure to grab a fresh bucket, and I'll see you at the table.